The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
EP3 done enough for you now? Woo! I mean, you're... Well, we got to get into it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You know, usually, this show, I do First Take in the morning, and then this show is on in the afternoon. So a lot of times, First Take, some of the stuff I say on First Take is inevitably a preview of what I'm going to say on the radio. That's just how it is. But today, you're getting a First Take preview on this show. Because inevitably, I'm going to say some of the same stuff. They're my opinions on the big news topics of the day, sports news of the day. And why do I bring that up? The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Why do I bring that up? Well, one of the things I'm going to talk about today on First Take, that was the most significant legacy-defining game that any basketball player has played since LeBron James in Game 7 against the Warriors in 2016. Like, LeBron's case, as, you know, in terms of where he ranks among the all-time greats, the number one line item is, in 2016, he led a team down 3-1 to a 73-win Warriors team all the way back. And he even won finals MVP when it looked like the Warriors are going to win and Draymond would do it. And by the way, Kyrie had a big game, but LeBron was correctly given the MVP, and he did it by icing the game on the line with a hurt wrist. Remember that? CP3 entered last night. If they don't win, or if he plays a bad game, given the way the Suns were performing without him, and then slowing down and not performing as well with him, given the number of teams that he's been on that have collapsed, that have been led by him, given the fact that he is championshipless, given all those, I mean, if he would have lost, what would people have said? What would I have said? I'll tell you what I would have said. I would have said, look, it's hard to include him on the list, top five and all these kind of things. But he didn't lose or play poorly. Guests, join the Max Kellerman Show on the Goodyear Hotline. First, it's time to talk for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
What is it about this team that you said, I want Phoenix?
It was a lot of things, but the big reason was the light-skinned guy right here, number one, Devin Booker.
You know, when we channel our energy the right way, we can make big things happen like tonight.
Like on this show, people say, what is the number one reason? Well, the light-skinned guy right here, Max Kellerman. That's what Raj says. Listen, I got to tell you, if like CP3 not only didn't screw up, he gave you 40 without a turnover. Now, it wasn't a Game 7. It was a Game 6. It wasn't a championship. It was a Western Conference Finals. But good grief. This dude, I mean, that was the kind of performance. And when people say, well, a guy's whole legacy can't come down to one game and da-da-da, well, it can tip the scales one way or another. Yes, it can. And in the end, whether it's a repeatable skill or there's such a thing as clutch and all these kind of things, in the end, you did what you did. And those moments matter. Look, in the fight game, you may only fight a guy one time. Oh, because he had one off night? Yes, yes, that counts against him big time. Or it can cement someone's legacy. Yes, that I can't overstate how big the game was for Chris Paul. And like, do you find out about a guy in a situation like that? You absolutely do. I'm sorry, you can't just like coincidentally keep having bad nights when your team needs it most, when you have the best chance to win. Wasn't his fault he got hurt against Houston. Wasn't only his fault that his Clippers teams collapsed. But I'll tell you what, it was his, you know, quote-unquote fault that the Suns won Game 6 like that. I mean, that's a leader. That guy led by, not only led in word, but in deed. Chris Paul with Rachel Nichols right after the game.
Chris Paul is in the NBA Finals. What do you think when you hear that sentence?
Man, it sounds damn good. Damn good. Been a lot of work, man. A lot of work. Going to a new team. Everybody staying the course. That team fight hard. T. Lou, unbelievable coach. Chauncey Billups, my big brother. So many ties to that team. But damn, this feels good.
Chris, in this game, there was a point the Clippers cut it to 7. You then scored 14 of 16 points on your way to 41 for the game. What kind of mission were you on?
Don't lose. Don't lose mission. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, and he didn't lose. It's one thing to, you know, like, hey, have a certain mindset and all this. It's another thing to actually get it done. Now, the fact of the matter is, and I love the Clippers. I'm going to play you some sound later in the show about what I said when the Chris Paul trade was first made. I was all over the Suns. But the fact of the matter is, I thought they were going to be good. I didn't think they would win a championship or get there in year one with Chris Paul. And they wouldn't have, because the fact of the matter is, they're here because of injury, period, in every single series. Against the Lakers, against the Jazz, against the, the Nuggets, against the Clippers. Every single team they played was missing either their best or second best player, and the Suns had all of their best players available to them in every game. Now, are certain guys compromised? Yes, Chris Paul missed a couple games. That's his fault. You don't follow protocols. That's on you. But the Suns had some version of Chris Paul and Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. I know Devin Booker got his nose broken. All teams go through stuff like that. But Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, you know, they had the, you know, Jay Crowder, they had their crew. And as a result, their development as a playoff team has been, you know, accelerated. But even so, they were, even without the injuries, they would have been a very, very tough out for a lot of these teams. I think they would have lost to the Lakers. The Nuggets and the Suns would have been a great matchup. And I think it's pretty clear they would have lost to the Clippers. It went six games and the Clippers didn't have Kawhi freaking Leonard. Give me a break. But you don't, like, the Suns don't get to choose who they play or what condition they're in. They just got to play who's there. And what Chris Paul just did, and what Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges and Jay Crowder just did, my hat's off to them. That was straight talk, wireless, no contract, no compromise. Now, because I'm a radio host and a media personality, and we always have to make it about us for some reason, right? And because I got Tom Brady's cliff spectacularly wrong, sometimes if you don't toot your own horn, there's no music. So with that said, I just want you to listen to what I said when this Chris Paul Suns trade first went down. I said this in November of last year.
I would not put anyone else ahead of Phoenix. I wouldn't put an ascending Pelicans team ahead of them. Not this upcoming season. And by the way, I'm assuming that the teams, I'm saying, like Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, and Warriors are ahead of them. I don't know about that. I'm assuming. But the way that the Suns were playing in the bubble, they didn't just get a little bit better on paper. They just took a quantum leap on paper, and they were undefeated in the bubble. And everything I'm saying assumes Ayton is the same guy. He's not going to get any better. But you know what happens to 22-year-olds after 2 years in the league? Especially with... Look, DeAndre Ayton, whatever people think about his motor, it needs motivation. Chris Paul ain't the fastest dude. He doesn't jump the highest. He doesn't have the most fast twitchies. He's not the tallest, one of the shortest. Not the physically strongest. I mean, he's strong, but Chris Paul just works harder than everybody else. Like, he wants it more. That's why he's one of the greatest of all time.
Oh, how prescient. Oh, did I say that before or after the Western Conference Finals? Before, you say? Almost a year before? What else did I say, Raj?
There's more.
Yeah, what else did I say? I'm asking.
Let's hear it.
If he sees DeAndre Ayton slacking, Chris Paul's like, dude, I'm 6 feet and I'm going down in history. You're 7 feet and you're only good. You're the number one overall pick and 7 feet tall and you're only good. That's not going to cut it around Chris Paul. If Chris Paul doesn't break DeAndre Ayton, he's going to make him a whole lot better. So now imagine Ayton in year three as a really ascending player, and the place where he's ascending from is basically a 2010 guy at center. And now think about that team. Like, I'm saying the Nuggets and the Lakers, obviously, with LeBron and AD, the Clippers and the Warriors. I'm saying they're going to be better than Suns. I don't know. I don't know that that's the case. The Suns now have two franchise players for sure, right? In Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Maybe a third in Ayton, depending on his development. Let's see. And at least two or three more deep are like perfect complementary pieces.
No, we didn't add sound effects to make it sound like I just recorded that today. That was from November 2020. You can look it up on the podcast. Now, I was right about every single thing I said, including I put certain teams ahead of them. And I don't know if the Nuggets would have been better, but if Jamal Murray would have played, that would have been very interesting. And obviously, if AD and LeBron are healthy, they'd have beaten the Suns. And obviously, if Kawhi was healthy, the Clippers would have beaten the Suns. And the Warriors, we don't know because no Klay Thompson. But, like, you could see what was to like of 8-0 in the bubble, and they added Chris Paul, who seemed to be the perfect fit. And, by the way, in terms of the leadership that Chris Paul provides, who does he credit? And it's infectious. It's contagious. DeAndre Ayton, when he had the alley-oop to win the game, what did he say right after the game? He properly credited Jay Crowder for because the best part of that play was the entry pass, clearly, was the inbounds pass. And he immediately credits Jay Crowder, not just to, oh, shucks, be a good teammate, but because it was the truth and he's a good teammate. Chris Paul was the number one reason. He points right to Devin Booker. And Chris Paul was supposed so spectacular, that's actually debatable. I don't know that Chris Paul is, I'll give it to Chris Paul because of the game he just had, but Devin Booker, the way he played and playing through a broken nose, like he had his face broken. And still, and by the way, then guys are targeting Paul George, targeting his nose. You know how much it hurts? Do you know how much it hurts to get your nose broken? Never have your nose broken? You know how much it hurts to get hit in a broken nose? He's playing without the face mask. That dude just, he was like, he covered his face, Devin Booker, with a jersey. I think he was crying, man. It hurts like that. It's like involuntary crying, like, oh, my God, this hurts so much. Got up and kept playing. And Chris Paul credits Devin Booker first thing. And that kind of example, which I'm sure happens all the time in practice in the games leading up to where you see them now, that kind of example rubs off on teammates, including DeAndre Ayton. Here's Devin Booker on CP3's legacy, what last night meant.
Chris Paul is stamped regardless. You know, anything else from here is extra. It's extra just to solidify. You know, I know he wants it bad. I know he's happy about this for his first time, but, you know, I know what he's on the pursuit of. And, you know, we have that same understanding. We don't talk about it much, but we know what we're trying to get to. But as far as he needs a ring to be considered, he's one of the best point guards ever played the game, and that's a fact. And everybody knows that, arguably the best. You know, he's put the work in for many years, 16 years. I'm 24. Eight years old since he's been in, so all I know is Chris Paul.
Well, Devin Booker's right. Chris Paul's legacy is stamped at a minimum level. He is one of the best point guards ever. One of the 10 best. But to think that that rating won't change based on winning a championship right now is crazy. Of course it will change. If he doesn't win the championship with a healthy Suns team against a compromised Hawks or Milwaukee team, and understand, the only reason either the Hawks or the Bucks will come out of the East is because the Nets were hurt. Just like the only reason the Suns are coming out of the West is because the Lakers and the Clippers were hurt. It's pretty obvious from those series, when the Clippers or Lakers looked somewhat like themselves, that the Suns could not beat them. However, they took advantage of the opportunity just as the Hawks and Bucks did. So now who's going to take advantage of the opportunity that injury has given these lesser teams, like the Bucks and Hawks and Suns? Because either the Bucks or Hawks are in the finals against the Suns. They're lesser teams than normally make the finals, or than would have made the finals. That's just a fact. Doesn't feel great to hear it if you're a fan of those teams, but you know it's true. And if Chris Paul, under those circumstances, still can't win a title with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and company, that's going to be held against him. It's not all gravy from here, as Devin Booker says. But if he can win a title, it's going to elevate him. If Chris Paul wins the championship, he will be considered a top five all-time point guard. If he doesn't, he will not be considered that way. That's how it is. It's the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat, the wide world of sports. That's what it is. It is a zero-sum game. There are winners and there are losers, unless you follow soccer. Then it can end in a tie. But otherwise, in America, we like the winners and the losers. Bucks versus Hawks, game five. Whoa. Giannis is out for the Bucks tonight in Milwaukee versus the Hawks. Trae Young and Clint Capella are questionable for the Hawks tonight. Dude, I mean... LeBron wasn't the same, but you know, I won't even include LeBron because he played. Let's talk about the guys who couldn't. I won't include Devin Booker in the injury because he played with a broken face. I won't include Chris Paul because he missed two games because of COVID protocol, but then ultimately he was able to play and his team won. So I'm not even going to bring up LeBron or Chris Paul or Devin Booker when I talk about how injury has decided these playoffs. Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis. Jamal Murray, Kyrie Irving, James Harden. Guys, come on. Kawhi Leonard. If you made a list of the best players in the NBA, even if you want to say, well, LeBron was compromised, but he's still LeBron. KD played. So who do you got next? Because one of those dudes is going to be in there. James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving. I mean, it's been ridiculous, the injuries. And now Giannis and Trae Young. Both of them. Forget about Mike Conley, right? Like, that stuff happens. The second best player on the team, but still, maybe third, but still. But, like, no Giannis and maybe no Trae Young or Clint Capella? It's nuts. You saw Lou Williams step up. And the Hawks were able to win without Trae, and then, you know, once Giannis left the game. If Giannis doesn't play and Trae does, obviously you like the Hawks to win. If Giannis doesn't play and Trae doesn't play, the Bucks are going to have to get games from Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton. They both have to step up. They don't do it consistently enough. They are good players, not great players. So they are usually good, sometimes great. They one of those times better be in this game if Giannis isn't playing and Trae Young is. Here's Mike Budenholzer, Bucks head coach, on the status of Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Whatever the release said is what it is. Doubtful. At some point, you got to pull the trigger and make a decision. And you know, we'll probably do that, and then we'll probably tell you we don't know who we're playing and starting and all that. And then, you know, a tip-off or whenever you guys will get it. And it's kind of the normal routine. We should have our medical director come and speak to you. You guys got the bum, the coach, to talk to you. So I think it'd just be best to leave it at he's questionable. And Giannis is going to do everything he can to be available.
888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. When I talk about injury, so Giannis and Trae and Clint Capella. I'm going to leave out the Clint Capellas and the Mike Conleys, okay? AD, Jamal Murray, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Giannis, and Trae Young, and Kawhi Leonard. Are you kidding me? What do you even say about that? I mean, by the way, Embiid was playing on a torn meniscus. I won't even count that. I don't even think about Embiid anymore because he played well. But you're going to tell me that didn't affect his defense? A torn meniscus? That didn't affect him at all? It's tough. You know, when LeBron was complaining about injury, and we debated this on First Take yesterday. When LeBron was complaining, you know, because Shaq came out and said, look, when you're making $40 million a year and, you know, so many people are in such dire straits during the pandemic, and after the pandemic, you know, it takes a lot of nerve to complain, basically. and that broad point Shaq is right about. On the other hand, you know, this is something my late great brother Sam used to say. It's tough to get mad at the fat dude when he gets back from the gym with the sweaty wristbands. You know what I mean? If fat dude is working out, like, maybe don't criticize him at that moment. You can save another moment. If he's eating too much, you know, later, then say, hey, dude, you don't need all the potato chips or whatever. But when he gets right back from the gym with the sweaty wristbands, maybe cut him some slack, right? He's working on it. It's sort of the same thing. Like, Shaq's right broadly about not complaining, given, like, NBA superstars and rich people. Don't complain during a pandemic. Oh, we have too many games. Most people, many people, millions of people, we're hoping for a job to go back to, not worrying about working too much during the pandemic. So I get Shaq's point. But it's tough to criticize LeBron when what he said was, we're playing too many games too close together, you know, and it's dangerous. It's going to result in injury. He was right. LeBron, as he often is, was exactly right. Exactly right. And by the way, LeBron is not an idiot savant. You know, if you're a genius on the level he is in basketball, unless you're an idiot savant, you are a very, you know, intelligent person. You have to have a talent in terms of the way you think and assess situations. And LeBron obviously has that. He was absolutely correct about this. Everyone's talking about the asterisk for last year's playoffs in the bubble. The right team won. The Lakers won. They were the best team. This year is the year that needs the asterisk. Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Landmark day for the NCAA. This make things right? Football offseason's always wild with all the trades, free agent signings, and new coaching hires. Teams have to be excited for the coming season. If you want to hire people you're really excited about, team up with ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds people with the right experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. To try ZipRecruiter for free, just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/max. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80, wherever you get your podcasts. Are you satisfied with the NCAA's decision? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. So the NCAA clears student-athletes to pursue NIL rights. That means name, image, and likeness deals. Every NCAA athlete in the country will be able to make money from endorsements and through a variety of other ventures starting Thursday. The NCAA's board of directors decided Wednesday to officially suspend the organization's rules prohibiting athletes from selling the rights to their names, images, and likenesses. The new rules represent a major shift in the association's definition of amateurism, one that NCAA leaders previously believed was antithetical to the nature of college sports. The board's decision comes after several years of debate, and just one day before, more than a dozen states will enact laws that make it illegal for schools to follow the longstanding NCAA rules that have, until this week, prohibited athletes from making money. Do you understand what a, you like, how can I put this in a way that won't get me in trouble? It's moral degeneracy on the part of those who tried to keep this system in place this long. All of those who argued for this, it's not just arguing for it because you believe it in some kind of, you misguidedly, you have an issue problem thinking things through. You're just not smart enough to think it through. And so you come to an opinion based on nonsense. That's one thing. But the people who had a vested interest in keeping a clearly exploitative system in place and fought it tooth and nail, fought change tooth and nail every step of the way, Mark Emmert. And not just him, just the latest. There are dozens and hundreds and thousands even. And we should not forget them. We should remember who they were, who were arguing for this, who clearly on the wrong side of history, clearly self-interested, arguing against this. Think of how, I don't want to make an ad hominem attack, not how stupid you have to be. Think of how stupid the idea is. And by the way, Kavanaugh, a very conservative judge, right, on the Supreme Court, a justice on the Supreme Court, controversially nominated the Supreme Court. Kavanaugh, because remember, the NCAA could have lived with the lower court's rulings. They could have kept the system in place a little longer. But they're so greedy that they thought, ooh, conservative court, we're going to argue our case. And conservatives like the way they like the status quo, the way things are. They're not progressive. They don't want to change. It was a 9-0 decision against the NCAA upholding the lower court's ruling. And not only that, but Kavanaugh wrote the opinion that he pointed out how absurd it is that the very argument of the NCAA is that their product, they can't pay their employees because their product that they sell is based on not paying their employees. That's the product they're selling. They got shot down so hard by the Supreme Court, the NCAA did, appealing the lower court's decision. And so many states are about to change laws that at the 11th hour, 59th minute, and 59th second, they kicking and screaming change just enough of their rules that they'll still exist. This is a bad organization, the NCAA, that exists to exploit athletes, in my opinion. It was founded, the whole point of the NCAA originally was to enforce safety standards in football because it was dangerous. What's the purpose of it now exactly? What's the purpose of it now? All I can tell you is to profit. And by the way, I understand that incentives shape behavior in ways that are not always obvious to the person who's incentivized. In other words, it's very difficult to make someone understand an argument, the saying goes, if their job is dependent upon not understanding the argument. The people who worked in the NCAA, their jobs were dependent on not understanding basic moral, ethical, legal, and simple, straightforward arguments. And so they didn't. Paul Feinbaum on the significance of today in the NCAA.
Today is the most significant day in the history of the NCAA, and that is not an understatement. Because of what is crumbling today, the model of the NCAA is coming down, and you can never put it back up again. The fact that the NCAA is really worthless after today is also a very significant moment.
They didn't have to be worthless after today, though. They didn't have to be. If you get out in front of it a little bit, like I think the decision seemed to be made at a certain point, like, this eventually the world's going to change and we're going to outlast our purpose. And so what we need to do is get every cent we can for until the last possible second and hang on for dear life and just keep trying to postpone and kick the can down the road and postpone and procrastinate, postpone the inevitable. And that way we accrue the most money instead of because short term incentives usually shape behavior better than long term incentives. It's the reason, like, we need government regulation over economies, over business, over industries, right? Because the free market is very good at allocating resources short term. But in terms of longer term stuff, it's good to have some kind of centralized intelligence saying, you know what, for example, energy policy. We need the energy, right? The market will dictate, okay, let's keep burning fossil fuels. Yeah, but the ozone layer and climate change, we'll figure it out. Let's keep burning fossil fuels. The market will have a strong inclination to keep doing what it's allocating resources effectively in terms of its short-term interest. But longer horizons need guidance from people who have thought it through. And the NCAA seemed to be, their behavior seemed to be dictated by whatever their short-term interest is. It would have been profitable for them in the long run to say, you know what, let's get ahead of this a little bit. This system is going to come tumbling down, and then someone like Paul Feinbaum is going to say, what's the use in the NCAA exactly now? I could have gotten ahead of it. It may not even be too late, except that they're so exposed as being exploitative hypocrites at this point that I don't know if they do survive long term. And there you have it. Well, athletes get to profit off their name, image, and likeness now. That's good. And by the way, if they're not getting paid, I suppose they're still technically amateurs, right? I mean, dude's getting in trouble for getting cream cheese on a bagel. Remember that? Well, that's a benefit. You can't have cream cheese on your bagel. Whew. Guests join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Got a question for me? Ask Max coming up. 888-SAY-ESPN 729-3776.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It's Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Got something for Axe Max? What you want to ask me? You don't even have to axe. You can just, you can state. You can stakes, not axe. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. You should have heard my father around the dinner table because, you know, growing up in New York, he didn't, my dad has a Bronx accent, grew up in the South Bronx, didn't want his kids to have, like, thick accents. It didn't work exactly. But if we said D's or Dems, and you can't hear it, or axe, boy, whew. Not D's, these. Not this, this.
Your father wouldn't have been able to have been on Snoop Dogg's album.
Then. No.
Not on
no.
that one song.
That whole album. If my dad was producing the Snoop Dogg album, Snoop, come over here. It's not X. In his Bronx accent, it's not X. It's ask, not X. All right. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Sean in Virginia, what you got to ask me?
Hey, Max. I wanted to know, is Kyrie Irving and James Harden the greatest backcourt in NBA history?
If they ever stayed healthy, maybe they would be, you know, but like theoretically they are, but we don't know if they would actually be because the body of work isn't big enough. And by the way, Kyrie's injury prone. Kyrie just misses time for various reasons. And James Harden, part of him getting himself out of Houston was not being in shape. And it eventually bit him. He's usually a durable player. This year it bit him. But on paper, they have a chance to be among them. I'm trying to think backcourts. Like the answer is like what Bill James said about the greatest pair of brothers to ever play, right? Oh, it's Joe and Dom DiMaggio or something. Sandy and Roberto Alomar. He's like, it's like, you know, if Babe Ruth has a brother, it's him and his brother. You know, so it's Michael Jordan and, you know, Steve Kerr, whoever he's playing next to. But I know what you mean, like where the talent is spread out among both guys. Michael never played with someone like that. Kobe never played with someone like that. So those are two. Dwayne Wade never played with someone like that in the backcourt. Jerry West, no, because Elgin Baylor was a forward. So, yeah, you know, like you start to think of who are the best who ever did it and who did they play with. Walt Frazier, Clyde Frazier, and Earl DePearl were great. And when it mattered most, Clyde Frazier was one of the greatest ever. But on a regular season basis, like on a game-to-game basis, the body of work, they're not James Harden and Kyrie Irving. Although... Clyde Frazier, go look at his numbers from the finals, like deciding game in the finals, 37-15 and something. And if you want to see highlights, kids, if you're listening, they called him Black Jesus for a reason. Like Earl the Pearl Monroe was doing things in the 70s that you're like, damn, that's like better than the best street ball dude can do it now. Christian and Callie, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, just kind of getting annoyed, but also understanding the whole basketball or whole NBA injuries thing. I mean, at some point, though, it's not the NBA's fault. I mean, Giannis just landed wrong, and that's what caused the hyperextension. At some point, that's not
well, okay, but they're right. And if that was the only injury, that'd be one thing. But can you explain Giannis and Trey and Kawhi and AD, these are all players who didn't play and it affected the outcome of games, right? And Harden and Kyrie and Conley and Jamal Murray. And like how many guys? It's a ton. And I'm not talking about Embiid and LeBron who got hurt but played through it. I'm talking about guys who couldn't play. So yes, you're right. Giannis, it could have happened at any time, it seems. But it didn't happen just any time. It happened now. And if that were one or two, there's one other guy like that, but it's a million guys like that. Bryce in Alaska, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, since the Pentagon has put out a statement, I haven't heard anything on your talk show about aliens.
Yes, UFOs.
Update us on that.
So the Pentagon, I think it was they finally released the report on the UFOs, right? And the Pez, a piece on 60 Minutes, like pilots saying, you know, they have not only visual evidence, but they have it on the radar and they have it on this and that. And these unidentified flying objects around our military bases or off the coasts where we have military installations and stuff. And They were like, it's traveling at ridiculous speeds, and we can't identify it. It didn't seem to have a propulsion system. There were 145, I want to say, incidents. The Pentagon has explained one of them. Can't explain the other 144. But, you know, things like suddenly it was 50 miles away in 1 second. That could be human error. That they could miscalculate. And I would say, based on the Pentagon's report, I would say is I still feel the same way. Of course, it's unlikely to be extraterrestrial, advanced alien spacecraft, right? It's unlikely, but the odds are not vanishingly small, as they always have been. Like, yeah, it's possible, but given the size, of course, there's life in the universe, and some of it's going to be advanced given the size of the universe and habitable planets and everything. Just you do the math. The odds are, of course, that, you know, overwhelmingly likely there is, but that it's actually been to Earth. What are the odds of that? Vanishingly small, right? Well. Actually, I would put the odds at like a 1 in 5 shot, like a 20% shot, which is a much more enormous percentage than I ever thought I would say, especially on airwaves. The Pentagon has they explained one out of 145. They got 144 that they can't explain still. And by the way, alien life would be like the happy outcome. The hell are these unidentified craft doing around our military stuff? Get out of our airspace. Derek in Ohio, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, I just wanted to know, with all the injuries in the NBA this year, you know, who will be the best team in coming out of the West?
Next year?
Yes.
I mean, I would have loved to see what Denver looked like if Jamal Murray was healthy, but Porter wasn't healthy either. I wasn't even thinking about that. But he and Jokic and Porter would have been really interesting to see what they could have done. But I didn't get to see it. I think the Clippers are going to be real good. Like, if the Lakers are healthy, I like LeBron and AD still. That's the short answer. But given their age and injury history at this point, they are less likely to be healthy than some other teams. The Warriors, you got to see what Klay is when he comes back. I don't like the Pelicans or the Blazers or who else? The Jazz. I just don't believe in the Jazz. Because they only have one guy like Donovan Mitchell. Some of these other teams have two. I'd say Denver or the Lakers or the Clippers or the Suns. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, CP3 stamp his legacy yet?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.